You know what? You have a lot to say right now. Why don't you lift your head up and say it to my face and say all the things you need to say. And then when you're done, you're going to put your fucking head down. You're going to take a deep breath and you're going to trust that I've got you. Can you do that? And she was like, oh, I like this idea. Hi, my sweets. Before we get into this week's episode, I am wearing my newly designed hoodie. It's organic, thick, oozing with sweetness and deliciousness, reminding you to surrender to the pleasure and the beauty that is yourself and your relationships in life. Check it out. It's very cute, printed on the front and the back. You can find it on my website, barbiejeanxo.com. And this supports me and my work and every episode and this channel and this podcast. So I really appreciate your support. Thank you. Welcome to Sweet Release Podcast with me, Barbie Jean. Hi, my sweets. Welcome back. I'm Barbie Jean, your host. And today I am very excited. I have the beautiful Miss Kimmy Inch here next to me.
I'm excited.
Welcome.
Thank you.
I feel like you pop up on my feed a lot. I've been following you for a while. We have lots of like mutual connections. And so I'm really looking forward to getting to know you more today. And
well, thank you for having me. I love an opportunity to talk about what I'm so passionate about, which is intimacy, tantra, kink, all of these things. So yeah, just give me an excuse and I'll talk your ear off for sure.
Yeah. So you are into the kind of somatic coaching and intimacy coaching space. And then even on your page, you have motivational spankers.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to like dive into a lot of those, but maybe initially like learning just a little bit about you and how you kind of got to this path and what your journey was like.
Thank you. Yeah. You know, I like to say that I've been a shamanatrix for about 20 years now. And I love, like, my biggest turn on is turning other people on, but not necessarily sexually, but turning them onto their purpose, turning them on to more pleasure, turning them on to like wholeness and like being true to themselves and all parts of themselves. So that's really what gets me excited. And I feel like, you know, as I do this somatic therapy work, I stumbled upon this world of BDSM and kink back in 2002. And I used to be a DJ and I was living in Tokyo, DJing in Tokyo. I started getting invited to DJ at fetish parties. And before then, I didn't really know what fetish was, but I arrived at this gig. And as I'm looking across the smoky warehouse, because 2002, you could smoke inside, and I could see these people dressed up in latex and leather and corsets and, you know, priest uniforms and schoolgirl uniforms and just you name it. And it was just the spectacle. And the middle was the dance floor, but off on the outskirts were play areas. So people were getting tied up on the St. Andrew's Cross or getting spanked. And I was looking at this and I'm like, oh my gosh, these are the things that I've been fantasizing about, you know, my whole life. And I was always interested in how to push the edge of sexuality. Even when I first started having sex with my first boyfriend, I would tell him like, let's dress up and pretend we're different people. Let's tie each other up. Let's spank each other. And he was just happy to have sex at all because he was 16 years old, but he like did not get it. And I did not get it until it clicked in that moment. And I met women who were professional dominatrixes at these events. And they said, you know, do you want to come watch our sessions? Like you don't have to do anything. You could just sit in a corner and you could get paid to be a voyeur. And I'm like, why would anyone want, like, why would anyone pay me to just watch? And they're like, you'd be surprised. Some people like an audience. Mm-hmm. So I would sit in like, you know, in my like whatever casual wear and I would watch these sessions and I was completely mesmerized and got so curious around like, why do we have the turn-ons that we have? And why do we have the fantasies and kinks that we have? And I've always been really interested in psychology. And back in those days, I didn't really know the emotionality of things and how deep it could go. I just saw this opportunity to make a lot of money without having to take off my clothes. And I'm just can tell people what to do. And I was like, sign me up. And it took a few years before I really started to understand that those spaces can be so healing and so empowering for people who want to not just explore their fantasies, but want to be fully expressed in their sexuality, which tends to be a part of ourselves that is repressed and that we hold back on. So being able to facilitate safe spaces where people can feel not only accepted, but celebrated for who they are. I really saw this as an opportunity for deeper healing. And I started studying Tantra and went to school for somatic therapy and started to bring all of these elements together to help people know themselves more and to explore and heal in ways that are a little unique. I think healing can look so many ways, but I just think it's better when you're having orgasms at the same time. Yes, so,
yes. I love that so much. It's cool to hear too, that one of your first kind of, opening up to the sexual kink world was like a, you know, being a voyeur. Cause right. I had a very unique, similar experience as kind of in my younger years when I was living abroad as well. And it was, this guy had a fetish for being piggybacked. And so me and my friend, again, we were like clothed. We did have our bikinis on, but we, you know, it was like, we piggybacked him and got paid. Yeah. And it was just a really cool experience that opened my eyes too. And I was like, wow, like he had never told a soul besides the women that did it. And so I was just like, this is a space where I feel like I too can empower. And I was so curious about it. Where I was just like, this is a really cool space. And myself too, I was curious about, you know, exploring those kind of unique dynamics. So it's awesome to hear.
It's called play for a reason. Mm-hmm. You know, we used to play all the time as kids, and there's a lot of, that childlike innocence inside of us when we're our erotic beings as well. So having an outlet for exploration, imagination, connection with another, play, being silly, being, you know, sort of detached from what our normal personalities are. It's an ego death in a lot of ways. And ego deaths are very liberating because we're not bound to a certain way of being anymore, that we can just, you know, exist and enjoy whatever is present in our experience. And that makes it really magical as well.
Yeah, that's beautifully said.
Thank you.
I've had some recent questions, even from friends of mine that are curious about exploring DS relationships, or they have a partner that wants to tap in to a more submissive or a more dominant energy. Do you have advice for couples that are interested in exploring it and want to like baby step into it, like what to tap into?
I love this question because people that are curious about these things, I get curious with them around, well, what is it that you're seeking? Like, what do you feel like you're needing right now? Because oftentimes if someone's interested in being submissive, there might be a real desire to surrender, to let go, to just be without having to perform or produce. And there's so many different strategies and ways that we can meet our needs. So the recommendation is to stay open and stay curious, because it doesn't have to look a certain type of way. The submissive role isn't necessarily a passive role. I also like to call the submissive role the follower or the muse. So there's a way that the follower is an embodiment and expression of life force energy. And to be able to try on these different sides of the spectrum, that maybe if you're a high powered boss bitch that's always calling the shots, yeah, it makes a lot of sense that you would find ways to balance that out in your personal life or in your erotic life, for example. And same with people interested in stepping into more dominance or more power. I like to call that the leader role or the artist role. And there's a way that you're inspiring, influencing, and guiding life force energy. And it's all energy at the end of the day. That's what people don't seem to always know, is that there's a way that there's a design of energy happening between two people or a group. And how that looks can be different for everyone. It doesn't always have to look like the dom is, I'm going to tie you up, I'm going to spank you, I'm going to dominate you. It's energy going in one direction. Mm-hmm. But the submissive is also moaning, maybe making sounds. Their body is having reactions to touch and to the words that are being spoken. And that's fanning the flames of the experience as well. So that's the way the energy is moving between people. So again, the idea is like staying open, like not falling into stereotypes and limited ideas of what kink, dominance, and submission can look like, because it's really unique. It's a unique expression to each individual, and looking at it as, what is my soul needing, and how can I meet that need? And there's so many strategies to do that, opens it up to so much creativity and so much possibility at the same time.
Yeah, I think that's a great place to start. And I love that you talk about the energy, because I'm always talking about energy.
Yay.
And so that's beautiful to hear in the DS dynamic too, that, you know, it really is just like bringing this energy to the relationship and allowing yourself to, stay curious and stay open and let it flow.
Yeah.
If you're kind of if you maybe lean more in, well, no, let me rephrase. Mm. If someone feels just like kind of insecure or maybe just like a little scared to, you know, allow that energy to flow through them, do you have any advice for them to kind of do it?
I'm like, go slow, slow the fuck down, you know, my gosh. Again, the idea is, how do we get out of agenda? Because agenda is usually linked to ego. And agenda can be like, it needs to look like this. It needs to be a certain way in order. Exactly. And just preconceived notions in general, which makes so much sense because we have limited information on what's possible in erotic spaces. We have porn and we have what we see in the media. And that usually doesn't display the level of transformation and depth and intimacy that is actually possible in these spaces. If someone's like yearning to surrender and let go, they also might be really yearning for deep connection and to be seen in their vulnerability and to be exposed in so many ways. So there's like this idea of like feeling into what are your fuck yeses now? Like, what are you really available for right now? And just pausing on the things that maybe are, ooh, I don't know about that yet. Or I'm a maybe about that. That then it's just a no for now, and just start with the things that feel like the most alive, and seeing where that takes you. Because you know, when you start playing in these places, you start to notice, like, okay, if I can surrender in the bedroom with my partner, maybe there's ways I can surrender more in life. Maybe I don't have to be a control freak. Maybe I don't always have to have everything so well put together and this idea of perfectionism. Maybe I could surrender that a little bit so I have more ease in my life. Maybe there's ways that I can have more life force energy if I let go of agenda and I just trust the universe and trust myself to flow with the universe, you know? And I like to get all esoteric with it, girl. Like, you know, because I feel like how we do one thing is how we do everything. Mm-hmm. It's all connected at the end of the day. So looking at this as an exploration for yourself is also a pathway to understanding yourself more. And same with your partner, understanding your partner in a deeper way as well. I like to say in erotic spaces, it's almost a snapshot. When two people are playing, it's a snapshot into their relationship. It's a snapshot into their relationship with themselves and their relationship to the universe as well. I was working with this couple who they've been together for like 10 years and they had a really successful relationship, but similar to what I hear a lot of women say, that she wanted her husband to be more dominant in the bedroom. They had a business together, but she always felt like she was running the household, running this business. Mm-hmm. And she wanted him to kind of step up and like be in charge. And he was game, but he didn't really know what that meant. So they came to see me to learn and to have more support in that exploration. Cause whenever they would try, it would be like frustration. She would be disappointed. He would feel disheartened and emasculated. And I said, why don't we all play together? Like, him and I will be the leads, we'll be the doms, and you get to be the sub to the wife. And we'll take you through an experience and he can see what I'm doing. And you can have an experience of like really letting go and knowing that there's a skilled person that's leading you. So as we're going through this process, you know, it's going really well until we have her on the spanking bench and the husband's spanking her and she starts to interject and she's like, can you slow down? That's a little too fast for me. And your aim is too high. Can you go lower? And that's not hard enough. Can you spank me harder? You know, and she's kind of just giving some feedback. So he knows what her experience is, but he's getting frustrated. Mm-hmm. He's like, she's topping from the bottom. She is not surrendering. Yeah. She is not being a good girl. She's not being a good pet. And I can see he's getting frustrated. So I call a timeout and I ask him like, is everything okay? Like, what's going on for you? And he's like, well, I don't understand what my role is. If I'm supposed to be the dom, aren't I supposed to be in control? She's taking my power and she keeps interjecting and she should just, you know, be like a good like slave, don't you think? And she starts to get a little ruffled up and she's like, but how will you know if I don't tell you? And my voice matters and I'm trying to help. And so I say, okay, guys, time out. And I'm like, this is an interesting dynamic because what I'm seeing isn't that she's taking your power. That's impossible. What I'm seeing is you're giving your power away because she's not showing up the way you want her to show up. She's not just, you know, yes, daddy, whatever you say. She's like, you know, kind of challenging you a little bit and she's giving some feedback. And it's getting you out of connection because your ego is getting involved here.
And you can't have ego and eros at the same time. So what do you prefer? Like, what's your intention for doing this? He's like, well, to have pleasure, have deeper intimacy, to have fun. I'm like, great. Are you accomplishing that, do you think? And he's like, no. And I'm like, well, what could we do? Like, there's so many creative ideas of ways to meet this issue, this so-called issue. It's not an issue at all. It's an invitation. There's so many ways to answer this. What are some other options aside from just getting pissed? Mm-hmm. And he's like, I guess I could have called a timeout and said like, hey, love, like I'm feeling like there's a power struggle here. I want to talk about it because I'm feeling a little off. I'm like, absolutely. You could definitely do that. Or you could say, you know what? You have a lot to say right now. Why don't you lift your head up and say it to my face and say all the things you need to say. And then when you're done, you're going to put your fucking head down. You're going to take a deep breath and you're going to trust that I've got you. Can you do that? And she was like, oh, I like this idea. And then I'm like, that's totally true. You know, or I was like, that's one option. He's like, I love that. He's like, I guess I could have also been like, wow, you have a lot to say. Maybe we should put something in your mouth. Cause she actually said she wants to be gagged. Mm. I'm like, maybe that's another possibility. Or maybe you could have just kept spanking her and said, oh yeah, I love when you talk. What else? What else? What else? What else? What else? What else? Until you wear her the fuck out. Mm. And there's nothing else to say. But the idea is, how do we let go of agenda and show up with what is, because that's an invitation for something even deeper. And it was funny because, you know, she was like, yeah, see, I my voice matters. I'm like, bitch, no, you say you want your man to lead you, dom you. But you're fighting. I see you fighting him. Mm. Like what's going on? Like, is there a bit of a rupture happening? Is there a trust issue happening? And after working with them for months, it was exposed that there were some ruptures that were never really repaired that started to erode trust within the relationship and trust within her as well. And so this is all information where we could say, this is what I'm noticing. We could sit down and talk about it, or we could fucking play it out. We can actually say like, this is what's showing up in the relationship. We want to have deeper intimacy. We want to have more pleasure, but what's in the way? And if we can pinpoint what's in the way, we can actually eroticize it and bring it into the playroom and play the fuck with it. Mm-hmm. That way our body is having an experience of something that feels visceral, and we can't rewire our brains unless we have human contact and we feel it in the body. So it's an opportunity to actually have an experience that we're either playing out a scenario that's not working for us, or we're giving ourselves a completely different experience of something that we aren't used to, so that our brains could say, oh, we have to update the information in our data system. Like, we have to upgrade our system to the new information because the old information is outdated. And I think about these things all the time. Like, you know, I think about this guy being like, oh, she's taking my power away, man. But I was thinking about it. I'm like, I do this all the time. Like, there's times in my life where somebody maybe says something and it ruffles my feathers. And instead of like playing with it or volleying back, I get all upset and I get into my ego, and my ego gets bruised and it takes me out of connection with them and out of connection with myself. So these are things I'm working on all the time, but we have an opportunity to bring these things consciously into the play space, and we can actually feel into like, okay, this is an experience that I want to have more in my life. Let's play it out. And then I can bring it into the rest of my life after we actually have an experience of it in my body, in our bodies, so that we know that it's possible.
Yeah. That's when like the whole healing comes, you know, and I love, it's all about being mindful too, you know, in the moment and even afterwards. Like, sometimes these experiences will bring up emotions after, or also when you start dissecting and learning like what that couple learned later on, months later. Like, I think that's really beautiful when you can really learn things about yourself. And I think that's sounds like a lot of what you're saying too in these experiences, is the whole point is to learn and grow. And I just think pleasure is a great way to do that. Like you said, tapping into your body.
I mean, aftercare is not just about cuddles and snacks. And I mean, that could be a part of it. But the aftercare is actually an opportunity for integration and to look at, you know, letting our bodies come back to homeostasis, and also looking at what are the lessons we learned from this experience? You know, so many DOMs are so focused on leading people into these, you know, expansive experiences, but they don't actually know how to guide people back to themselves again and back to this reality and to help them also implement the things that were learned and explored and experienced in the play space. You know, it's great to have cuddles and blankets and things like that, but it's also, there's so much more available because when we're in an altered state of consciousness, our brains have a window of being impressionable and we get to input new information that is actually going to serve us ultimately. So to say like, you know, this is what I experienced. I felt so safe. I felt so held. I felt so free. I felt so like in flow with life. Like these are things that I know that I have access to and I want to bring that into all areas of my life. Because if you're just keeping it in the playroom, you're playing really small. That's like low hanging fruit. Mm-hmm. It's like, how do we actually take that into all areas of our life? Because we're erotic beings and being sexual erotic beings isn't just about fucking or genitals. It's about being alive and being in flow with the universe and having that relationship to all things.
I love that. Was there an experience for you that helped you learn something about yourself or heal through something?
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
That you could share.
So, when I was going through, my father had just passed away and I was going through a breakup of a relationship that I was in for like 4 years. And I had really, felt disconnected from myself. And I also felt sort of disconnected from the masculine. And I was holding a play party. I very rarely make any requests at a play party because I am usually holding the space down. But there's a point during the play party I ask people if they want to share a mildest or wildest fantasy with the group because that's a really good way of making it come true. And so people were sharing and I said, hey, I actually have something. And everyone was like, really? And I'm like, yeah. So my fantasy is that I just want to be like objectified by the masculine. Like I'm always this like highly regarded, respected teacher, mentor, leader. And I actually don't want to feel like that. I want to be objectified. I want to be grabbed. I want to be like used. I want to be told what to do. I would like love for some man to just throw me over his shoulder and like throw me down and have like all the men on top of me and telling me I'm a good slut and I'm a good girl and like spank me, slap me, you know, choke me. My boundaries were like, please no genital contact. Cause that's not what it was about for me anyway. And so, you know, the people were asking clarifying questions, just wanting to make sure they understood what I was asking for. The women were like, can we watch? And I'm like, yeah, I would love to have y'all watch. And we proceeded to start the play party. And at one point, this big Viking looking guy like came over and said, Kimmy, you're coming with me. And he just like grabbed me, threw me over his shoulder, threw me down on a bed. And next thing I know, there was like 20 men on top of me at one time.
Yes.
And they're pulling my hair. They're spanking me. They're slapping me. And they're like, yeah, we want to fuck you. And we want to do this. And they were just being really explicit and really sort of rough. And the climax of the experience was getting some spanking, face slapping. But there was a moment I was like, almost like I felt like I was suspended in time and I could really feel my father's energy in the space. And it was this like masculine, safe, protective, proud energy of like, you know, you are so worthy of pleasure. You are so worthy to be met. And you are safe with the masculine. The masculine is here to serve you. And that was what I was experiencing. So when the climax sort of started to decline, I just started crying. And these men were holding me and telling me that they loved me and that they appreciated me and that how I've impacted their lives have meant so much to them. And it was such an incredibly healing experience to actually firsthand, like feel that devotion from the masculine and to feel that appreciation and love and care in a way that was highly erotic and charged and to feel so safe and seen in that. I was fucking high for months after that, girl. High for months. And it shifted something inside of me. Like it reconnected me to my sense of self and my femininity and my, sense of, just feeling alive in the world. I was making money right and left, getting these invitations for opportunities that were really exciting. And I was like, it's how I'm showing up, but I needed a little help. And I wanted to use the erotic and willing consensual participants to help me get back to myself again.
Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, it was amazing. It's so good.
I would love to, you know, we've mentioned spanking a lot, and I know I kind of mentioned that in the beginning.
Yes, I'll spank you. Yes. Fine. Just kidding.
Yeah, that would be nice. But, I feel like there's an art to it. Mm. Could we educate a little bit about what?
Oh my gosh, it's one of my favorites. Yeah. It is legit one of my favorite things. And while a lot of people know it to be erotic punishment between consenting adults, I like to use it as a tool of moving energy in someone's body. Mm. And if I am spanking someone, I'm not only just making impact with them with my hands, but I'm also thinking about their chakra systems. You know, in Tantra, they talk about the seven chakras in our bodies and how they're related to different parts of our lives. The root chakra, which is in the ass, is linked to safety, security, home, family. And I like to say if I'm spanking someone, my hands and arms are an extension of my heart chakra, the fourth chakra here, which is all about love and connection. So I let people know I'm touching you with my heart and I'm activating your root chakra so that you can have more abundance and feel more safe and secure in your life. And being able to use those intentions in the play can be so powerful for people. And I'm also thinking about, do I need to bring energy down from their heads? Are they really in their heads right now? Do I want to ground them? Do I want to enliven the energy and get them like really excited and uplifted? Like, how do I want the energy to flow? And using impact play for that is epic. You know, it's such a great way. And we use things like EFT and tapping and massage and all these other ways of touching the body. Impact play is just another version of that, you know? Mm-hmm. And I like to say using language, I love using erotic language in all things. I love to stimulate not just the body, but the mind and the emotions and the energy. But if I were to use it as a punishment, I tell people, I'm going to punish you for the times you don't believe in yourself. I'm going to punish you for the times you don't know just how incredible you are. I'm going to punish you for the times that you don't love yourself. That's why I'm going to punish you. And it's not me that's punishing you. It's your higher self. I'm just the messenger. I'm just here to bring you back to your truth again. And that's a completely different energy as opposed to I'm going to punish you for, you know, not doing the dishes right or whatever the silly things that people come up with. Mm-hmm. So it's an opportunity to, yeah, impact people, like to penetrate and impact people on an emotional level and help them, you know, get reconnected to like their brilliance. I'm not like thinking about spanking someone. I'm thinking about what are the strategies and ways I can implement helping people feel themselves more or love themselves more or be reminded of their brilliance again. Like that's the way I like to play with partners.
I love that. I love that so much.
Yeah.
I think in my first experience with spanking, it was a punishment. Mm-hmm. And it was because we were in an open long distance relationship. Mm. And so in our time apart, you know, I was new to LA. I was exploring myself, which is why, you know, I agreed to like an open dynamic, but it was a punishment for how many people I had like played with while we were apart. And it turned into this thing where he would like, you know, make me count. And it was just this thing that before I really liked face slapping, I liked spanking, but with him, I started to like lose the energy behind it just didn't feel as good. Mm. And I've found it back since with my partner and, love Yay. Of my life now, but it's true. When you bring in a different energy, it can really shift things around. And I love how you focus on, you know, the self-love and I love that.
Bitch, I'm going to knock the love into you. I will fuck you up with love.
Like, I think a lot of people could benefit from that advice.
Totally. I mean, there's such a negative connotation of, you know, spanking and things for so many people and just all things related to kink. There's been so many times in our lives that we were unconsensually masochistic or unconsensually dominated. And these things happen in our lives. So sometimes it's hard for people to wrap their head around why would you want to be spanked or dominated? Because they've had an experience of it being unconsensually done to them. But it's a reclamation. You're taking your power back to actually collaborate and be co-creative with someone and say like, let's explore these things that might have a negative connotation in my psyche, but let's give it a new, premises where it is going to be about love, acceptance, celebration, liberation, all of these things. Cause I know I can stop it at any time. And I know that I can also,
yeah, let go into this. And you, your body has a completely different experience of it. You know, so many people are saying the body doesn't know the difference between violence and kink. And I said, that's actually not true at all. And there's no scientific research that also supports this. But if your body does feel safe and relaxed, if I'm working someone with trauma who has a past of abuse, for example, they get to set the pace. I tell them, you tell me when to spank you and I will. Or sometimes it doesn't even have to be my hand. It could be a rose. It could be a feather. Like there's mm-hmm. these different ways of warming the body up and giving it an opportunity to settle into the experience so that it's not holding on to this old data anymore. And that's how you shift people is through that human contact and help them have a new experience of things. So yeah, impact play is so great for that. Bondage is so great for that, oh, you know, yeah. Sensation play, mm-hmm. humiliation, dirty talk, like all of these things. There's so many ways that we can reclaim ourselves, which is so fun.
And the intentionality too, I feel right. like is key, which is, you know, basically so right. what you were just saying, but I think that's a really key component too. When you go in with a certain intention, that can totally make the energy or the healing experience different.
Totally. I mean, just when you're sharing the story about your ex, what was coming up for me was a little bit around, like, it sounds like an attunement issue a mm-hmm. little bit, and maybe him not being super attuned to your body and what's going to expand you and open you up.
And I wasn't attuned to myself, actually.
There you go.
I definitely didn't know what my boundaries were in that right. relationship. So I was kind of just allowing things to happen that I didn't realize until afterwards mm-hmm. that, you know, it didn't feel right in my body at the time.
Totally.
So now I think, and that's why I always encourage people to do baby steps and learn your boundaries, because I think for me, when I started exploring my sexuality and kink, I just went head first. And not to say that's a bad way, but it kind of was for me, because yeah. I think I pushed the boundaries too far in a lot of situations, and it took me a while to heal and learn. And so I think baby steps and boundaries are one of my two things that I always mention.
Oh my gosh. I can't tell you like how many I get, mostly from men, but these messages from male doms, and they're like, it's not that deep. Like, you know, like what you're talking about. I'm like, you have no fucking idea actually how deep it is. Like, one of our most original wounds as children is usually around our sexuality. And what I mean by that is, as children, when we're discovering our bodies and discovering like how our bodies can feel good when we touch ourselves down there and we're like, ooh, hey, what's this? But it's not about sex though. It's about pleasure, enjoyment, the body. And usually our caregivers are really uncomfortable with our sexuality as kids growing up. And even if there isn't abuse present, there's a sense of in the energetic field that, oh, something feels off or something feels like it's not welcomed here. Like this part of me is not welcomed here. And that shows up in so many areas of our lives. And without that recognition, because it's so much repression in this world about sexuality and so much confusion and stigma around just sexuality in general, these are things that we carry with us when we're little and we're growing up. So being able to connect to, why do I have the fantasies and desires that I have? Where did they come from? Were there any unmet needs as a child that I didn't get met that I'm trying to meet now in the erotic world? And is it serving me ultimately? It's such an important question to ask, because that part of us is always going to be with us.
Yeah, before you do any kink or even erotic exploration, and that's also something I never did 10 years ago.
Yeah.
It was like I wasn't asking myself that. I was like, you know, curious, and I wasn't very aware. You know, I felt a little out of body in that time of my life. And so I think once you become a little bit more aware and present, then you will start discovering those beautiful parts of you and be able to create these magical experiences.
I love that. You know, when people ask me how they can be a really good dom, I'm like, do inner work on yourself. Mm-hmm. Go to fucking therapy. You'll be such a good dom. You'll be such a good dom if you work on yourself and you understand yourself better. Same thing with how do I be a better sub? Same thing, you know, same. Like, do the work. Like, look at yourself in the mirror first, because every relationship you're in and every play partner you are going to have from this point is going to be a reflection and a mirror of you. And kink is a mirror. Mm-hmm. Kink is a mirror also. It's true. Yeah, it's true.
Mm-hmm. I to go back to spanking a little bit, because I did want to share kind of what I enjoy about it too, because the first time I was spanked by this dominatrix at a play party, she had this like technique where she just kind of did a spank, but then did a light little like massage after.
Yeah.
And I felt like that was a really, again, a sensual way. I think I'm a very sensual person, but I just thought, you know, to give some actual advice on like how to literally spank, I really enjoy that. And I don't know if that's something that's common, but after like a long session to get a little like massage, or after a heavy sting, even if it's like a flogger or any kind of impact play, to then follow it. I guess that's kind of a little aftercare in a way, but to follow it with a little light, like touch, kind of having that contrast. Is that something?
Oh my gosh. I love that. No, well, it's what's interesting is there could be a juxtaposition between maybe something that feels a little more intense versus something that feels sensual and soft.
Yeah, true,
and it's also a good way of helping the body process the sensation as well. If you're landing something and not just boom, 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 like, but you're actually letting it settle, you're massaging it in, maybe she can land a spank on your ass, and then you can massage it down somebody's legs and down their feet. You can spank them on the ass and bring it up their back and like through their arms. Like there's all these ways of moving it through the body. So it's not just in this concentrated area. I know one of my pet peeves with people that I let spank me is if they're unconscious in their touch. A lot of people are not conscious when they're touching other bodies. Mm-hmm. And there's this sense of like, I want there to be such reverence when someone is touching my body that there's like this undeniable, unshakable presence and undivided attention coming from them that I feel with their hands. You know, when you play with someone who's not in their hearts or that they're not conscious in their touch, it's going to feel really flat. It's going to feel really surfacey, and your body's probably not going to melt as much as if someone who's touching you is actually really present with you, is really watching the way you're breathing, is interested in like helping the energy flow throughout the rest of you, is interested in not just bringing the pain or the intensity, but also wants to, you know, pair it with some softness, some loving touch and stuff. Like, that's so melty and yummy. I'm so glad that you had that experience, because I've spanked so many people and they're like, I didn't even know that was a thing. Like they maybe were spanked in the middle of being in doggy style and someone's like, who's your daddy? And they're like, oh, okay, we're getting spanked now, whatever. And that's like the extent of it. And I'm like, you know, I teach in my classes, a formula called psychedelic spanking, because, you know, we're helping people drop into subspace, dom space. And that's essentially like altered state of consciousness, similar that you get in ayahuasca ceremonies and psilocybin and all of these other things, heavy duty breath work, like those ways of being in altered states that happens through spanking as well. And that usually can take place if the person feels really, really safe and you go slow and you stay attuned to the body and continue to like move the energy, people get high as fuck. Can you relate? Can you relate?
High. And I think when you have those intentional spanking sessions, that's different than like a doggy slap in the middle of like penetration.
Totally.
Like for my birthday, for my 30th birthday, a few years ago, I remember wanting to get, I think my 30th, I had 30 orgasms. And then for my 31st, I had 31 flogs.
Oh yeah.
And so it's like having an intentional session about spanking is also a great way to, you know, let that magic and let that, you know, whole vibration and release happen. Sweet release. You know?
So nice. Yeah.
I love that. Mm. Do you have any, things besides spanking that you love that you're comfortable sharing?
Yeah. So my favorite is erotic language, also known as dirty talk. Yeah. Like getting into someone's head is so powerful. Like anyone could tie another person up. Anyone can spank another person, but being able to use language to really penetrate someone's mind and get into their hearts is where the real power is at the end of the day. And you can say really generic things that you hear in porn or that you just hear, like, you know, you're a good girl, for example. Take off your clothes. I want to fuck you. Like these sort of things are
tried and true and they can work really well. But if I really know my partner, I know their life experience, I might even know some of their history, that's really where things can get so powerful. Like I was working with this woman, she's an interior designer, and she came to see me because she wasn't able to have orgasms for the last 10 years. And she had really like loving, mindful lovers, and she had all the gadgets and gizmos and vibrators and whatever. Mm-hmm. She was not able to have an orgasm. However, she was able to drop into subspace. So that was sort of her release for her. And she had come to see me because she wanted to have an erotic experience of me being in the dom position and leading her through something. But I got curious because I'm like, well, tell me, like, what were your initial impressions about sexuality when you were growing up? And she told me that she came from a really religious background. And while she was maybe 4 or 5 years old, she discovered that if she rubbed herself against her pillow, it would feel really good. But if her mom ever caught her doing this, she would get punished, she would get spanked, she would get put on time out. So her brain and her body were starting to learn that it's dangerous to feel good. It's dangerous to have pleasure. And while she wanted to keep exploring, you know, what felt good, she was so afraid of being rejected by her caregiver and the center of her universe. And I get really curious because I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Like, I believe all things are connected. So I was curious about that experience. And I said, let's create a scene where we'll implement all the things that you've shared with me and see how it goes. So I'm leading her through her experience. We're doing impact play. We're doing Shibari. We're doing, some face slapping, some sensation stuff. Nearing the end of the experience, I actually have her kneeling on the end of my canopy bed, and she's in her underwear, no bra or anything else. I have both arms tied up to each post, and I have her knees tied apart as well. So she's sort of like in this starfish position, and I start shoving pillows underneath her. And her eyes are like, what the fuck? And I was like, I want you to listen very carefully. You deserve to be in pleasure. Mm. Your pleasure is your birthright. I want to see you ride those pillows right now. Ride those pillows. So she's like rubbing herself against the pillows and she's crying. And I'm like, no matter what, God loves you and you are allowed to be in your pleasure. And you are so beautiful when you're in your pleasure. And she's just crying and starting to have these orgasms, and her whole body is just vibrating. And it's not just orgasms in her genitals, but like through her fingers and through her eyelashes. And her just whole body is having this gigantic release as I'm telling her these things. And after that subsided, I untied her and I was holding her during aftercare. And I asked her, and I ask people often, like, are you having any downloads right now? Are you having anything come through from our session? And she's like, yeah, actually, I really felt like this presence of a higher power in my body again. And I had been reminded about how angry I felt like against God. And now I feel like God can be back in my life again. Mm-hmm. And I actually feel like I'm worthy and allowed to have pleasure. And from that day forward, she didn't have problems having orgasms ever again.
Oh, wow.
And it's this idea of like, the best lovers are the best listeners. Mm-hmm. They are curious. They want to know more. Like that's my phrase that I always say, tell me more. Tell me more about that experience. Tell me more about that fantasy. You like spanking? Cool. But what spanking means to you is what it's different for me. What does spanking mean to you? What is the most exciting experience of spanking you ever had? Or what if you could wave a magic wand and create the most ideal experience of spanking? What would that look like for you? Like, I want to know. And what's happening in the space? And do you know why you like spanking? And just getting so curious about our life experience and our perception of things. Like, it's so easy to say good girl, but when you're actually using language where someone's not only feels like you heard them, but you see them, that means the world to people. Like, you know, we have attention spans that are like 3 seconds long and we're glued to our phones. To actually be with the human and be like, I want to know everything about you. Tell me everything. Like, holy fuck, that's so important for people. And to actually see that you were listening in the play space and that you are here and you do see me, that shit's healing. That's way better than, you know, having an orgasm or just getting spanked. It's like, wow, I am known, I am felt, I am seen, and I matter.
Yeah, and you started a brand that's called More Please. Right?
Yes, it's called And More. Yeah, and more. That's right. It's all about the more, babe.
Well, I love that because again, it's like when you lead with intention and curiosity, and when you listen, that's when again, that's when the magic flows, and that's when the orgasms and the sweet releases will flow.
So that's right.
I love all of that.
Yay!
Well, I love to hear kind of how people can find you if they're interested in. Some of these sessions sound very just like transformative.
Oh, yeah.
So I know you're not in LA, but if people want to reach out to you and get advice or anything that you have coming up.
Yeah. So my next event is in LA. Oh, okay, it's going to be October 16th through 19th. And it's my signature event called Something More. It's a 4-day workshop that really travels into your desires, boundaries, erotic language, impact play, bondage, and restraints. We also do a play party during that weekend. And it's just a really incredibly well-rounded weekend of exploring our erotic archetypes and understanding ourselves. And if you're coming with a partner, helping you understand them as well. So that's going to be here in LA. But in the meantime, you're welcome to reach out to me. My email is yesmorepresents@andmorepresents.com. And all my socials are under Kimmy Inch, my name, K-I-M-I-I-N-C-H. And I'm available for private sessions, both online and in person. I'm in LA, Austin, and New York the most, but I serve people all around the world. And yeah, I would love if people are interested to just reach out and we could have a conversation around how working with me might look.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I love to ask my guests that last time they had that sweet release, any and all details you're willing to share to normalize pleasure and kink.
Yes. Well, I have a lover here in LA. Nice. And last night we reunited after not seeing each other for a couple months. And we were taking a lot of space to kind of drop in with each other and talk. And at one point I just felt like really vulnerable and wanting to, you know, be taken and be led and to be dominated. And it's hard for me, and I'm working on all this stuff as well, but it was hard for me to like really ask for what I wanted. And I just shared with him that I was like, I feel nervous telling you this, but I just really need to be led. Like I just really need to be dominated and played with and stuff. And my little heart was like racing and so nervous about it. And as soon as he like stepped up and met me in that place, I was just like putty in his hands and just all melty. And that sweet release was orgasmic in so many ways, but I also cried. I also laughed. I also like just kind of let it all come out. And I slept like a fucking rock last night. And I was like, I'm so excited for this interview. I'm going to be so on fire for it because I felt like I needed that sweet release. I needed to, to have that pleasure and be brought back to myself again. So yeah, it was delicious. I love LA.
Have you ever used orgasm or a sweet release to manifest?
Oh my God. Yes. It's so fun. There's a lot of consciousness around using it for manifestation because the idea is not just like what you're trying to call in, but again, like, you could say like, oh, I want to make 7 figures. Like I want to make $1 million. Right. But also again, it comes back to not just what you want, but what's in the way of what you want. And if there's any limiting beliefs that you have about making money or have about success, it's important to recognize that and call in the things that will help that block, that will help you actually like have more confidence and have more self-security and have a sense that I have everything I need and there is no lack. There's only abundance. And that's the way I look at life. And manifesting and self-pleasuring or doing it with a partner in that sense, I think is also like really, really powerful and not just focusing on the outcome, but also like the places that need to be shifted and adjusted so you can be open to receiving that kind of abundance.
Yeah. Like in the beginning, you said too, like being open and curious and focusing on the self-love and the beauty, the beautiful parts of it, not like the lacking parts. I think that's a mindset that not a lot of people have when they think like they're missing out on something. So I like that again.
Thank you.
So much advice. I'm so happy.
Thank you. I had such a good time and thinking about like, if we want the epic relationship or the $1 million or whatever those things are, like how do those things make us feel? Cause it's not about the thing. It's about the feeling at the end of the day. So bringing in those feelings during, usually, you know, self-pleasuring or whatever is like the most delicious feeling you could have, and like really honing in on that feeling and anchoring it into your body so that you can live life from that place and make decisions from that place, not from scarcity or lack, you know? So that's so much fun for that.
Love it. Love it. Well, thanks again for being here.
Thank you.
Sharing your wisdom. And your eyes are beautiful, by the way. I've been staring at you for
these old things,
however long it's been. And they're gorgeous.
Thank you, babe. You too. And I'm so honored that you invited me. And thank you so much.
Of course. Of course. And to you, sweets, be sweet to yourself. Be here. As always, be you and welcome the sweet releases. Thanks for tuning in. Talk soon. Much love. Thanks again, Kimmy.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.